Columbus meet. The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
At CHAPS Equine Assisted Services, volunteers help change lives and bring confidence to people of all ages alongside the healing power of horses. Whether you're experienced with horses or brand new to the barn, there's a place for you on our team. We're looking for caring hearts who want to make a difference right here in our community. No horse experience needed. Reach out to Lou, our volunteer coordinator, at volunteercoordinator@chapsyo.org.
Oh, she's so cute.
I won $50.
Sure, you've played football pools, but have you played cow pools? Introducing Shorty's Countdown to Calving. Each cow featured is ready to have her calf. Pick the date you think she'll calve, and you could win $50 in chamber bucks. And we're in Wyoming, so there's plenty of cows. Play round one of Shorty's Countdown to Calving on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
Black and white. Looks just like his mom. Hey, I won $50 too.
The Sweet Deals Online Marketplace ends tonight at 8 o'clock at SheridanMedia.com. Get your bids in now. Black Diamond Detailing, Kilpatrick Creations, Bino's Corner, Chemdry Carpet Cleaning, Fiber House, Miracle Housekeeping, Sheridan Commercial, Sheridan Seed, Story Store, Glow Wild Spray Tan and Skincare, Tales of the City, Designing Dinner, Sagewood North Cafe, Craft Bros Music, EB Hearing, Dalton's RV and Handles, and a lot more. But you better hurry because the Sweetheart Deals Online Marketplace ends tonight at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, February 16th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Quality and Specialty Service, Tommy Ritterbusch, and Regulatory and Safety Specialist, Grace Stump. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's great having you in here. Let's start at the beginning. Tommy, you've been in here before.
I have.
But it has been a while. So we're going to go ahead and review some of the things that we talked about previously. What sparked your interest in healthcare and quality improvement work? And those may be two different stories.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, I found myself in healthcare because I just enjoy caring for people. I am that in my personal life. And when I started looking at career paths, nursing really spoke to me because it was an opportunity to take care of people and really show them how you care through your actions. And that translated to me as being a interesting career. Also because it, you know, incorporates humans, science, all the things that I enjoyed in school. And so I kind of just fell into it. And then truly, the more I was in it, fell in love with the career. What's exciting about nursing is you can be in a million different roles in nursing. There's not one set path. So I never would have actually expected that I'd be in quality, though now that I am, it is totally everything that I love.
Oh, that's great.
It's really something that I care a lot about and enjoy doing. I started at the Cancer Center as a new nurse at Sheridan Memorial Hospital and grew in leadership roles, working in the TCU, case management, the Cancer Center, and then came into this role for quality. And since being here, I've really just found a passion for translating the things that are just the rule books and how we should do things into really feasible and translatable things to the frontline and patients for our community. I think it sometimes can feel like just a bunch of rule books and that I can be the fun sponge is what I always tease, right? You know, it's like there's lots of rules that we have to follow, but they all translate into something important for our patients and the care that we deliver. As long as we can make sure that we translate the why behind all of those messages and regulations and all the things, then it really can be a meaningful partnership and using those to drive quality and safe care for our patients and community.
Was there a conversation, a moment where they said, you know what, someone somewhere said, bring Tommy into my office. I want to talk to her about this position and kind of letting go of the, in a way, you know, more hands-on, letting go of the care of the patient to a almost like an oversight type of position. Do you remember that conversation? And was there a little trepidation on your behalf where you're like, gosh, I don't want to let that go?
You know, the thing that I always think about is When you are in a leadership position, you have an opportunity to touch all the patients that come in to receive care from your facility. And so even though, of course, I miss my relationships and day-to-day interactions with my patients, having the ability to create processes and systems that support the whole organization, which truly means every patient that walks through the door, is a really big responsibility that I am honored to be a part of. I think it just means it just looks different, and I get to be a part of all the patients' experience at the hospital.
Did you take a day, or were you like, yes, I'm jumping on this?
Oh, I think I probably just smiled really big because my mind started, and I'm like, I'm just going to smile through this. I'm thinking about that, but let's do this. I think it's exciting to have anything in healthcare that comes your way is a new opportunity, and healthcare so dynamic and diverse that really to jump on any opportunity is an honor and just a new way to grow yourself to serve your community.
That's incredible. Grace, what originally drew you towards like regulatory and safety type work?
Sure, yeah. So I kind of just fell into it. I love people and I love taking care of patients. And so this particular role is an indirect way to influence patient care day to day. And so when it boils it down to, I engage a lot with staff and their processes that they perform every day. And so I just love patient safety.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, someone's got to. You know, we need somebody in that seat.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment what were you doing beforehand?
Oh, sure. Right before I took this role, I was one of the charge nurses on MedSurg at the Sheridan Memorial.
So you kind of went through the same thing that Tommy did, where you were kind of transitioning from that hands-on to I'm going to kind of work in an oversight type of position.
Yes.
Did you take a couple days to come up? Or were you like, you know what, I am passionate about this safety thing. I am ready for this step. Or did you kind of think about it? You're like, I'm going to be losing some of those relationships.
Yeah, I did. I would say I reflected before I took this position. I didn't know a lot about this role prior to taking this position. And so I've learned a lot along the way. And I have just a heart for patient safety now.
Yeah.
It's really my thing.
Is there a lot of manual type of reading?
Oh, yes. Down, yes. A lot of reading, a lot of learning, and just always having that mindset that you're going to have to continuously learn this position. So and the regulations and the standards that are out there, as well as things evolve out on the floor. So because I haven't been on the floor for a few years now, I've been in this role for almost 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, things change over time. So you have to relearn what's happening out on the floor.
And so do you do that? Do you do like walks every so often? Or does your job kind of keep you in the office more often?
No, I get out a lot.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. I get out and see what's happening on the units, at their huddles. And I try to understand their processes that are occurring to then help them ensure that we have safe practices and regulations in place.
Because you don't want to lose that connection, you know, that transition from like field work to an office. And all of a sudden your life goes from, you know, interacting with people, no matter what position. Field work is really interacting with a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. To three ring binders and being that person walking around going, hey, are we making sure that we're doing this?
Yeah.
That's a heck of a transition to go through, I think, for anybody.
Sure.
But you don't want to lose that I know what's happening out there type of feeling. Do you ever experience that, or are there some weeks where you're like, you know what, I'm going to spend more time on the floor this week?
It depends day to day what's going on. But yeah, I mean, I reflect a lot. And so when there's opportunities that I am unaware of and I want to understand more, I do get out to understand those and get out and about on the units.
Now, how long have you been with Sheridan Memorial Hospital in total?
We moved here 2018.
Oh, wow. What brought you here?
Well, I met my husband now in Colorado, and he got a job up here. And so we moved up here. We really love this area. I grew up in a small town, and so I love the atmosphere of this town, the people here, the mountains.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those mountains bring so many people up here, right?
For sure. But, yeah, and I love it here, and I would never want to go anywhere else.
Tommy, you're a local girl, right?
I'm a homegrown kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does that feel? Like, is there ever a time where you think, you know what, I got this great career, and especially as a nurse, holy cow, you could go anywhere, literally anywhere on earth if you wanted to. What keeps you here?
I think Sheridan is just such a special community. I've felt the love of Sheridan and just the commitment to their youth be poured into me. Going to Sheridan High School, graduating from our school district, going to Sheridan College, seeing all the resources and care that this community puts into everyone there. And then knowing that I have a career where I can give back to a community that has given me so much is really meaningful to me.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful community. I think that when we look outside of here, it's hard to find something. And I know I'm probably biased, but it's probably really hard to find something as special as Sheridan has. We take care of our people, and to quite literally translate that into my career of caring for this community that's given me so much is really meaningful to me.
And it's like, I see what you're saying. You know, why go someplace else when this place checks all the boxes?
100%.
You know, and I am going to do a little hometowning here, but I spoke with a doctor late, I think maybe even early last year, who said, this is where we're looking to try and get. We're working to get here. We're not getting found at random. We're actually making an effort, you know, and he wasn't a local kid, but he was saying we really make an effort to try and get to Sheridan Memorial Hospital for many, many reasons. And we spoke about that at length, but it kind of shocked me where it's like, wow, that's fantastic to hear that, hey, their people are actually working to try and get here, which isn't the case everywhere. Now, Tommy, what does the title Director of Quality and Specialty Service mean in practical everyday terms?
Sure. So the Director of Quality aspect of my role is what Grace and I work together in. And so that's making sure that we are accredited and supportive of safe practices, quality care outcomes, all of the infrastructure to help support that in the role. And I get to work alongside teams to make sure that we're delivering on those initiatives for our hospital. The specialty services piece is the other things that have come along with me as I've grown into this role. Welch Cancer Center has stayed under my leadership. And then we've recently added palliative care that will be joining Welch Cancer Center in May. So more to come on those. But we're excited for that transition to have Dr. Allison Dawson start at the Cancer Center, joining Dr. Megan Ratterman and Christian Kim in caring for our community with that holistic care approach. Also, rheumatology is going to be joining, and infusion services. So that's the specialty services piece of the role. And it's, again, something I'm extremely passionate about and lucky to be able to continue to work with as I've grown into quality. And I've really been able to keep this nice little pocket of just joy that all those things bring to me.
It seems like such a broad umbrella. It does it all kind of fit underneath the same quality SOPs where you can go into one place or the other and say, hey, let's get the sheet out, let's check those boxes and make sure that all of them are there? Or are there just so many different variables going into from one place for quality to another one is night and day?
Sure. You know, I think traditionally there's not necessarily a job that's maybe like mine in all facilities. But having grown up in the, organization through the Cancer Center, I think I bring some understanding to that role. So when it comes to the specialty services that are within my purview now, those are all actually really well intertwined. And so that really makes a lot of sense. And all of the departments that we use feed into patient safety and quality. And so really, it's not that far off. It's a different lens for sure from each vantage point. But they really, when you marry them together, it's the same work.
What about you, Grace, when it comes to safety? Is that kind of the same?
Yeah. With, are you referring to safe
like the
inquiry?
Broad umbrella being able to go from one place or one center to another, and you're like, okay, here's our safety sheet that we all follow, or you have a specific one when it's different from this center?
Yes, I would say our care is consistent with how we practice day to day. Did I answer your question?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, there's always going to be general practices, right?
Let's, sure.
We're going to take these steps because we know that they safeguard against staph infection. We're going to take these steps because we know they sanitize a various area or something like that. I think all of them follow those basic steps, but I imagine that there might be something a little bit more or different from the cancer center to this center.
Mm. Well, I guess it would depend on the process that you're looking at specifically, but there are certain processes that are going to just be standard of care and how that process works. Mm. And so, but there might be individualized processes that work a little differently. And so, yes and no.
Because I think about like, and I forget its name, and I'm going to just sound like a new kid like you wouldn't believe, but the robot that is up there. You know, the safety and sanitation procedures surrounding that thing have got to be absolutely intricate. And I could be completely wrong. I could say, you know, actually, it's quite easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like any process, once you learn it, you can then make it more efficient as you go. But I would imagine that's a little bit different.
I would just add that maybe where it's different is that while we may be, you know, in the roles that we are, we really partner so heavily with all those frontline leaders that are out on the floor. And they're truly the experts that we get to support.
Yes.
And I think that's something that we really, as a department, are really strong in, is that we know that we don't know everything, but we know where we can help find things to empower those that are doing the work and the true experts in their field be successful every day.
That's a fantastic answer, Tommy. That's fantastic. All right. On that, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
It's been a long-standing tradition in our community. With four chapters in our county, the opportunities for young people continue to grow. See the center section in this week's Country Bounty to get caught up on our local FFA chapters, where they've been, what they have going on, and how you can be a part of their learning and growth. Sponsors include Heartland Kubota, True Built Builders, PEMF Wellness, Sheridan Media, and Range.
Ready or not, it's tax season. Luckily, H&R Block is here to put 70 years of tax prep expertise to work for you. Hi, this is Barb from your locally owned H&R Block office. Walk in or make an appointment today and get 100% accuracy and the maximum refund to which you're entitled. With H&R Block, you can file with confidence knowing you have expert local help when and where you need it all year long. Stop by H&R Block at 1307 Coffeen or call 672-9787.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
The sweet deals on
online marketplace ends tonight at 8 o'clock at SharedMedia.com. Get your bids in now. Black Diamond Detailing, Kilpatrick Creations, Bino's Corner, Chemdry Carpet Cleaning, Fiber House, Miracle Housekeeping, Chinook Commercial, Chinook Seed, Story Store, Glow Wild Spray Tan and Skincare, Tales of the City, Designing Dinner, Sagewood North Cafe, Craft Bros Music, EB Hearing, Dalton's RV and Handles, and a lot more. But you better hurry because the Sweetheart Deals online marketplace ends tonight at SharedMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Quality and Specialty Service, Tommy Ritterbush, and Regulatory and Safety Specialist, Grace Stump. We are discussing Sheridan Memorial Hospital safety and quality. Now, I'm not sure who would best answer this, but how does Sheridan Memorial Hospital measure quality in the realm of patient care? I said in the first part that seems like a really broad umbrella. So many different services, so many different avenues of care being handled down there. Just seems like a lot, Tommy.
Oh, there is a lot. And like you said, we have a lot of variety of services that we provide to our community, which means on the other side of that, there's a lot of different ways to measure that to make sure that they are effectively doing that. As part of our commitment to quality, we want to always make sure that we are delivering efficient, effective quality care. And so there's different benchmarks in all realms that you can measure that against nationally. And usually when you're within your own specialty area, you know what those are. And the physicians help partner with us to drive that really, really well. They are very knowledgeable in their specialties. They know what we should or should not be watching, and they collaborate with us often on things that we want to watch to make sure that we're effectively delivering that care. From an overarching standpoint, CMS, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, they provide a lot of those benchmarks too that we have to report on, and that reporting is rigorous. I think there's like 30 measures that you have to report on an ongoing basis all the time.
Wow.
And keep strict levels of performance and to be able to, one, keep your services open and serving patients, but also it really is intricately intertwined with how you get reimbursed as well. So there's pay for performance programs, reduction in payment programs based on performance. So you really have to keep an eye on all of these things in a very dynamic way to make sure that we can continue to deliver the services we want to be able to serve our community, but also making sure that they're delivered in the most effective and efficient way.
Is there like a matrix that you're constantly reviewing and following on that? Or is there like a standard set down by various associations?
Sure. So it depends on the different areas. When we are in an accredited program, you have specific measures that they say you will watch these. And so you have to keep that in like a spreadsheet and document that in a very efficient way. We have what is called both abstracted clinical quality measures and then electronic clinical quality measures. And essentially what those are just measures of performance on how we either document the care that we've delivered, because if you document it, that's you're documenting what you've done to care for someone, or the electronic ones pull from discrete data within our EMR system on how we've charted to make sure that these specific levels of care have been met at the right appropriate intervals.
And how often is that referred to?
Electronic clinical quality measures. The ECQMs. Yes. Often I would say we use those weekly to reflect on our work. Some of them you can get a little less frequently and it might be more monthly, but they're often as you walk through the halls of our hospital, you can see our huddle boards, and a lot of those measures are at the huddle boards for frontline staff to feed their feedback into and to talk about with the teams, to always be keeping it in mind. So I would say with our commitment to ongoing continuous improvement, it's part of our everyday jargon. I mean, we're talking about those a lot, and the areas where you have influence on the specific measures, definitely understand your influence and work that into your daily work.
Well, I can tell you, I know quality of care, that phrase right there is something that all Sheridan Memorial leadership emphasize when they're in here. Everybody comes in, and that's a focus, at least part of discussion, quality of care. There's the goal, the finish line in a way. Now, when it comes to situations of like safety, is it looked at the same way, Grace, where it's up on the board? We've got various standards that we need to meet. It's part of the lexicon that we all live by.
Yes. We use a dashboard to understand where we are meeting metrics for different components that we look at for our process improvement.
Yeah, you know, our safety, we always encourage staff to talk to us about safety. We have a really strong safety culture across the organization.
That was going to be in my next question. Grace, if someone's like, you know what, I just feel like this process could use a little tweaking, do they approach you? Do they approach their leadership?
So we have huddles a day on different units, and that is frontline's way an opportunity to speak up if they have concerns about opportunities that are occurring that they maybe have issues with or just have insight to. So that would be where that would take place.
How did the world change after COVID in regards to safety, sanitation? I mean, is there anything that really sticks out to you, or was it all in place already?
You know, reflecting back on COVID times, one thing I think that Sheridan Memorial had was the huddle system and how we had that opportunity to see, do we have all of our equipment or supplies that we need every day to take care of patients? And so,
the supply line.
And so the huddle system essentially gave frontline and leaders the opportunity to understand where we were day to day with what we needed.
Wow. I can't even, you know, imagine a nurse going to work and they're worried. Am I going to have the gloves that I need to get through the day? That's incredible to think about in this day and age. But boy, howdy, it was a very serious issue for a very long time, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to data or indicators that help you identify whether the things are improving, so if someone brings you an issue and they're like, you know what, this is a nick in the arm, or we really need to work on it, how do you follow up with that? Is there also another, sounds like a buzzword that I'm using, but another matrix that you follow? Or
yeah, you know, I think all of our quality metrics and outcomes that we watch are followed through both leading and lagging metrics, right? So leading metrics means that I know today I'm doing the behaviors that are successfully going to lead me to the lagging measure being positive or in the direction that we want to see it go. All of our CMS data that we get back, I mean, at most recent, when we reflect on that, when they're provided to us, is maybe within the last, like the year before, but sometimes even older than that, 3 years, 2 years, and it reflects a period of time of 4 years, sometimes in duration that can be, you know, 5 years to a year ago that is in that chunk of data. So that is a accumulation of several years ago. So when you're looking at that data, it doesn't really give you a picture of how are we performing today? What are we doing today to know that that is making a difference? And then either we're not surprised by something that, why did that change in 4 years when it's updated? As well as, well, we thought we were making a difference. Why isn't that showing now? So we really have to be diligent in creating a leading metric that helps us know today, if I do this, then I know that I will achieve the right outcome, which I think we've, you know, always have opportunity to continue to evolve in how we select those metrics. But we're doing a lot better than we used to in being able to find that balance between what am I doing today and is that just a yes or no? And sometimes it's just a commitment to a behavior. So, for example, when you are looking at healthcare acquired infections, what can I say that I'm doing today to know that that is going to be lower the risk later on and the incidence of those being low? I might not be able to actually know if this person's knee may become infected, but I can be committed to washing my hands, administering the antibiotics within the appropriate timeframes in which we want, and then measuring that. And that's my leading behavior that I do today that has influence on the long haul.
Mitigated risk. I mean, that's really what it is. So you know the risks are there. And so you take these various steps down that matrix to mitigate that risk. Mm-hmm. This is a matrix mitigation process that is followed by everyone from the U.S. military to hospitals. It's one that I recognize very well, and the way that you're describing it to me, it's the same thing for various NCOs and COs who have to look at a situation and say, this is the end result, and these are the risks that are going to be presented from A to B. And boy, howdy, we better get on it and try to mitigate those through various steps and processes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's where our role is so meaningful, is really making it seamless, like you must check this box to check the box, and mm-hmm. making it meaningful on the why. So why is it so important that I have great hand hygiene? And why is it so important that that antibiotic's delivered on time? And that if there's a barrier to that, I'm working with my team to be successful in letting it not be a barrier and making sure it gets done. It's really empowering staff to understand the why behind all of it, so it doesn't feel like another box that needs to be checked, another someone says somewhere that I need to do this, and more so the meaningful outcome that it has on our patient.
I don't want to get off in the toolies too much, but I do want to say that, that when it comes to generational workers together, you know, the older generations really, and I learned this from the military, there's not a whole lot of why, it's just do. And okay, yep, you're the higher rank, I'm going to go take care of it, don't worry about it, I got this. But the younger generations, specifically from what research has shown that I've looked at, it's the millennials who started going, yeah, but why? I understand you want me to do it. It'll get done. But I need to know why. And some leaders have found just exactly what you're saying. By giving the explanation as to why, it actually increases the motivation of the individual to accomplish that goal.
Oh, I would say I see that all the time. I would definitely say that when individuals understand the why, they feel the purpose behind their actions, which is, I think, so important. And when you know that the purpose behind your action is the safety or well-being of a human that you're taking care of, it's really meaningful. And then I think it helps support the importance of why that certain task needs to be done. I think it's also, as a leader, how you show your respect for those that you get to lead. Mm-hmm. It's a collaborative environment. It is important to empower them to know that you know, may not understand why to, and that you're willing to understand and talk about that with them to be able to collaborate and be in the most effective environment to take care of patients.
Grace, when it comes to the risks that are out there, what are the greatest risks in a hospital environment that you find yourself dealing with on a daily basis? Is it primarily like infection?
I wouldn't say infection, no. But we have systems in place to identify if we do have opportunity for, let's say, any type of infection. So then we know how to process and improve that. But I, as for highest risk for, Tommy, do you have any insight to that?
Yeah, you know, I think I would say culture, which is something that you talk about all the time, really is a culture for safety. If I see something that I feel needs to be looked at more, is talking about that with the people involved. And I think that's something that Grace does really well, is that she talks, you know, goes out, gets in front of teams and says, you know, did you have questions about this? Or just asking more questions to understand. And it's okay to ever say, stop, I don't know the answer to this question, or I don't know the best next step. So I'm going to stop, ask questions, and better understand before we proceed. And that's a commitment to that safety culture.
That's really interesting too, because if you take that idea of culture, hey, you're safe to say whatever is on your mind right now. And if you share that with everybody, then they're going to bring those concerns forward. Whereas in a situation where someone's like, nope, we're perfect, I don't want to hear about it, then things could be slipping through the cracks all over the place and they'd never know. Right. You have to have that where safety, sanitation, all that stuff is everybody's responsibility. And if you see anything falling through the cracks, I need you to bring it to me. Mm-hmm. Open door policy is totally what a lot of people talk about.
Yeah.
But being able to actually see it in practice, then you know you've got a good situation. All right, on that, I'm giving the signal to take another quick commercial break. We're going to hear more from Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after the break. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Moss Holders Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Moss Holders' talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Moss Holders will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Moss Holders designers can get it done. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Got a car you want to sell? Look no farther. Hi, this is David Cox from Sheridan Honda. We want to buy your car. Whether it's a sedan, SUV, truck, no matter the make or model, we are ready to make you a deal. Sheridan Honda makes it easy for you. No hassle, no haggling, just a quick fair offer and cash in your pocket. We'll handle all the paperwork. Come down and see us or go online to SheridanHonda.com and click on Sell Your Car. Get your free, no obligation offer today. Let us show you how easy it is to do business with Sheridan Honda in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
Say hello to the future of choosing your dream kitchen or bath. Buffalo Stone and Tile now house Wyoming's first 100% self-serve showroom, open every day 7:30 to 7. Granite, quartz, porcelain tile, luxury vinyl plank, faucets, hardware, thousands of today's hottest finishes, all ready for you to explore on your schedule. Just stop by, call the number on the door, and get buzzed in. No appointments, no pressure. Buffalo Stone and Tile, 1402 Sugarland Drive, behind WyoVision. Self-serve, stress-free. Seriously gorgeous. Design help available by appointment.
Your car does a lot for you. Getting you to work, hauling kids, driving in Wyoming weather. So when it needs service, trust the experts at Midas. Midas repairs brakes, battery, exhaust, steering, air conditioner, radiator, suspension, starters, charging system, fluids, tires. Midas does it all, and they do it right. Right now, the savings are strong. Buy one oil change, get one free to use by March. Plus, save $100 on a set of four tires. For full service auto repair, see Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan, a touch above the rest.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Safety and quality in a hospital. That's the discussion this morning. And with me are Sheridan Memorial Hospital's Director of Quality and Specialty Service, Tommy Ritterbush, and regulatory and safety specialist, Grace Stump. Now, let's talk about some of the biggest challenges in maintaining regulatory and quality and safety within healthcare today. Tommy, if you were to kind of take the 10,000 foot view, 30,000 foot view, and kind of look at the whole situation, I realize that you've been at Sheridan Memorial Hospital for a number of years, but I imagine you're conversing with other individuals in other hospitals, and maybe even at conferences or something. What would you say is the number one or just a handful of the concerns that other hospitals are really looking at when it comes to quality of service? What's on their minds?
Sure. I think it's really important to remember that healthcare is meeting people where they're at their worst. And there's a lot of nuances to every situation that you encounter. And so it can be really difficult when you see different scores or different perceptions on care from different entities across the nation. There's many different entities that can provide us with scores and different things on how we provide that care. But it can be disheartening when you don't necessarily think that that reflects the care in which you actually delivered. There's no measure necessarily on making sure that a person feels cared for and the level of that. We have patient experience where that always plays into the role, but sometimes,
like surveys?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And those definitely do play a big role into the patient experience, safety, quality. All of those go hand in hand together to work together to you know, be the sum of what this patient's experience was. But sometimes it can be really hard in rural areas because we don't have large populations. And the same things that we're held accountable to are the same things that large systems of care are held accountable to. And so we have to perform our best with a smaller numerator or, you know, number of people providing that same service almost perfectly to have the same level of score as someone who has 1,000 and can miss one time and it doesn't reflect them at all. But if we miss one time with a numerator, that's small. And so that's something that I think a lot of our Wyoming hospitals face. That's challenging. We're a small state. We don't, you know, and we're complex and resources are always limited in rural healthcare. So competing at the same, you know, game can be hard.
And that's really interesting to look at. I think a lot of people don't understand that there are stark contrasts to an urban hospital and a rural hospital. And you just explained one of them. And resources is certainly one of them. When you're, because Sheridan Memorial Hospital has done a lot of expanding, addition of services, opening clinics, I mean, all kinds of different things. When they're doing that, is there like a briefing, an in-brief almost about, okay, now you're getting ready to go into this department. Let me talk about quality of care for a little bit. Hopefully it's not the dreaded PowerPoint presentation that folks have to sit through. More of a face-to-face.
Totally. We get to sit down and talk patient safety and quality with all of the different departments that we work with. As we've had these other teams join, we've had the opportunity to sit down with them, talk to them about what these measures look like and how do we achieve them. I would say that what is unique to Sheridan that puts us so, you know, just competitive in being able to stay on top of that is everyone's willingness to do our best and always continue to strive forward. Even if things are challenging in the healthcare dynamic, we are all very committed to serving our mission to our community every single day. And I think that's what makes us very unique is that all of us share that and know that together we can get there.
Because they understand the why. Because they understand the why. Grace, when it comes to individuals coming on to the team, do you sit with them and say you get a new nurse or a new CNA that joins up? Do they get some sort of like safety briefing when they first join? And you just like, look at my face. I'm the safety girl. I'm the one we're going to talk to.
For sure. So at new employee orientation, I do a presentation for that every time we have new employees start. Just about our processes with safety, with regulations, how that aligns. And so that's really where I see the front line in the very beginning of their career at the hospital or our organization. But I always end it with, if you ever have any questions with safety or regulations, I'm your person.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I don't know, I'll find out for you.
And is there like a publication or a series of emails sent out by various associations that provide some sort of oversight that you have to look at every day and go, okay, are we doing this? We've been doing this one for years. Oh, here's a new process that we can implement. I mean, is there, how do you get the new updated safety version of things?
Sure. Yeah, I get emails from like IHI, and that tells you about best practices that are being implemented nationwide. And so I review that regularly and I look at, is there opportunities for us to implement at our organization based off of that? We also are part of Vizient. And so they help us understand what is being seen nationwide with regulations at other hospitals to then help us prepare for not just the next patient, but also for the next survey.
Well, one of the things that comes to my mind, Grace, is your commitment to collaborating across the state. Grace helped get together all the different roles that are similar to hers with patient safety and regulation team members that are within each of the specific hospitals across the state. And they have monthly meetings and they talk about their work and collaborate. And you helped get that going for the state, which was really something that's awesome.
Yeah.
What motivated that?
You know, well, a piece was that we have an infection preventionist in quality, and they have, by nature, they have resources to understand IP regulations or standard of care, where in patient safety, there really is a gap with that. Even within the state, there isn't a way to connect with other organizations on patient safety processes. And so... Wow. I guess that started about a year ago, and it's really nice to connect with other hospitals across the state because we can learn from each other. So,
and do you find that they face the same challenges as you, or are there some out there that are pretty dang specific to their area?
No, I would say it's pretty similar.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just good to talk out that with other peers in your role.
So your role, I mean, obviously, there's got to be somebody, and I say this with all the naivety that I have, sure. But there's got to be a safety role at every hospital. Is that true? Or, like, there's definitely someone at every hospital whose sole purpose is this?
Yes, I would say that exists at every hospital.
Yeah.
It's needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it the primary role of every one of them, or is it somebody filling in, going, you know, this is an extra duty, I'm also the safety girl or safety guy?
Some it's their primary role. There might be a few other hospitals that they also do employee safety as well as patient safety.
Oh, wow.
So it just depends, I think, on their structure of their organization.
Now, the reason I ask that is because you start getting, you know, Sheridan itself, you know, it's a smaller city, mm-hmm. but it's a city. I think back to where I grew up out at Star Valley. Not a whole lot of people out there compared to other locations. And so I would imagine that they'd have to fit in more than one role. But I suppose it's really not the concern of how many people are in the town. It's how many people are you serving on a daily basis? I would think that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, when it comes to staffing shortages, is there any challenges that either one of you face due to that? Are we still experiencing that, Tommy?
Oh, I would say that there's in healthcare, staffing is always a challenge. There's a lot of opportunity. You can go anywhere and work anywhere, which I think can really appeal to a lot of people to go into healthcare, but there's never enough nurses, and we can't have enough nurses and other medical professionals to serve our patients, and that's a nationwide problem. I think where we have an opportunity is just to recognize that that's a reality, mm-hmm. a little bit of what our industry is, and how do we create efficiencies in our processes to make sure that regardless of what you're up against, you are successful. And I think that that's where we have a lot of joy and making sure that the staff that we do have feel supported and taken care of and recognized for their efforts in patient safety all the time. I'm just want to talk about patient safety a little bit with the Patient Safety Week that's coming up. March 8th is Patient Safety Week, and we do a lot to celebrate our staff and all that they do to take care of patients day in and day out. We recognize patient safety superstars and departments that are committed to patient safety project improvement work and have done a project focused on something they wanted to improve within their department for patients. And we always have a lot of fun with recognizing those that are committed to that mission every single day of keeping our patients safe in a and an organizational goal of zero harm. So looking forward to just recognizing them. And I think that's what helps us keep staff when we do find them and they come to us and makes us special is our commitment to our staff and what they do for our patients.
I think that's incredible. You know, you celebrate these successes or just consistency, I think, is something to absolutely celebrate. So tell me how we can kind of participate maybe as the public in something like that.
Oh, well, what I would say is there's a lot of ways to do that. One way is through our patient safety our patient experience surveys. If you've been a patient at our hospital, please fill out your survey. Tell them what went well, areas that you think we have opportunity. And always, if you had someone that stood out, call them out in your comments during that survey. Our staff and leaders are diligent about getting those to the staff, and that means the world to them. So that's definitely one way to support them and recognize them.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be here without a lot of nurses out there that have worked very, very hard throughout their years to make sure that I'm still kicking the can down the road. So, Grace, Tommy, thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute pleasure to sit down and speak to you about this, safety and quality care, something we hear about a lot. But I finally got the specialists in here. Thank you. Very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Doug, what does full service really mean to Waring Chevrolet?
Bob, how long has your check engine light been on?
Wow, you're clairvoyant.
No, I'm not, but our factory-trained technicians are. They'll do a full diagnostic, check on the light, plus change your oil and check your brakes.
Plus collision repair and detailing?
Plus, with our tire price match guarantee, we have brand-name tires at the lowest prices every day. We offer free pickup and delivery with a 10-mile radius. If you can't drive in, it's full service the Waring way.
The kind that keeps people coming back, Doug. Schedule online, waringsheridan.com.
Looking for a good time and to support a good cause? I've got just the event for you. I'm Xander Depew, president of the John B. Kendrick FFA, and I cordially invite you to attend the FFA Alumni Barn Bash. It's on Saturday, the 21st in February, at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds Exhibit Hall. The doors open at 5:30. Tickets are $35 at the door. The night includes dinner, auctions, raffles, and dancing with the Wyoming Saddle Tramps. Join in the fun for a chance to win some great prizes and help fund local FFA scholarships and agricultural education. Event sponsors include Wyoming Eye Surgeons and Standish Family Fund. Media sponsors include Heartland Kubota, True Built Builders, PEMF Wellness, and the Sheridan Media and Range. The annual Albert J. Goodwater FFA Alumni Barn Bash, Saturday, February 21st at 5:30 p.m. at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. Again, that's Saturday, February 21st. I'll see you there.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
AARP kicks off Community Challenge grants for its 10th year. Apply until March 4th. Grants support projects that make communities more livable for people of all ages. Winning projects will be announced in June. Last year, Sheridan and Claremont both received grants. Go to aarp.org/community challenge to apply. If you don't apply, you won't get one.
The Sweet Deals online marketplace ends tonight at 8 o'clock at SheridanMedia.com. Get your bids in now. Black Diamond Detailing, Kilpatrick Creations, Bino's Corner, Chem-Dry Carpet Cleaning, Fiber House, Miracle Housekeeping, Sheridan Commercial, Sheridan Seed, Story Store, Glow Wild Spray Tan and Skin Care, Tales of the City, Designing Dinner, Sagewood North Cafe, Craft Bros Music, EB Hearing, Dalton's RV and Handles, and a lot more. But you better hurry because the Sweetheart Deals online marketplace ends tonight at SheridanMedia.com.